Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. On this day in history, August 28th, many things happened. Henry Hudson discovered the Delaware Bay. 10 suffragists were arrested and for picketing the White House. The first radio commercial appeared there or was heard on a New York radio station in Queensboro. A peaceful civil rights demonstration was conducted by Martin Luther King, which included his I Have a Dream speech. And, of course, today we also have this rally going on with Glenn Beck and lots of people who are interested in freedom and liberty. And they're trying to find solutions. At least they're out doing something. Trying to figure out what the answer is. They see a problem, and they're trying to find solutions, commemorating that same kind of spirit that we saw in some of the demonstrations back there in Martin Luther King's day, where people were trying to figure out solutions. And some people's solution was we needed communism or socialism. We needed eventually this moved into a great society with people like Lyndon Baines Johnson. But where is the real solution? Where is the real path? Is it a political policy path? Is that what we need to do, is change our political policy? Or is it a matter of our personal path, a moral path, a different direction in which we should be going? And so the topic of this show is money, money. Because money is at the core of a great deal of the things that go on in society. Today, I think money actually controls the way in which people vote, the desire for money, the desire for what money represents, which is wealth. They all are a part of these concepts of how to solve what our problems are. And unfortunately, a great deal of money has gone into graft and corruption and has perverted and taken the leaders which you have elected off into a particular direction. And one of the reasons for this is that you don't simply elect leaders anymore, representatives to lead you, but you elect rulers who rule over you. And how this has come about is because we have altered our moral path. We have accepted some ideas that are simply not good for us and follow those ideas and are continuing to follow those ideas to their completion. Also on this day in history, there was an evacuation order, the Big Easy, because there was a Hurricane Katrina coming that was not going to be very easy on anybody. And the reality is there was an evacuation ordered by Christ some 2,000 years ago that said, come out of her, my people. Actually, that wasn't Christ himself saying that, but it's biblical. But the way Christ began his message was to seek the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, seek the high ground. Get to a safer place, because you guys have made your house in the floodplains. You have made your home where it is not safe, and we need to change. I'm reminded of John 10:10 that says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He did not come preaching the kingdom of heaven for the dead. It is not for you after you die. It's for you right now. And if you adhere to those precepts that Christ preached, which most Christians are not doing today, we would have life more abundant. Instead, we're on the verge of possibly one of the greatest depressions in the history of the world. We have moved from bad to worse on a regular basis because we have looked to the policies, political policies presented to us by a certain kind of ruler. And we cannot cover this topic of money, money in the short time that we have. This is our teaser to our regular radio broadcast on First Amendment Radio, which we will try to finish this these concepts and move to the solutions which are found in the kingdom of God. In the beginning of time, mankind has sought both freedom for himself and dominion over others. We see this, that he wanted freedom not simply under God, but freedom from God. And this is what he wanted to decide, what was good and evil himself, and not listen to the guiding spirit of God who walked with him in the garden. And that was the first step towards destruction, but we continued to make more steps. We also wanted to rule over our brothers, as we see Cain, who oppressed his brother even unto death. And all of the leaders in that system up to Lamech and eventually the flood. There was another system operating from Seth and Enoch, which was operating a completely different way. And this is the difference between the kingdoms of what we call the world, the systems, organized systems, constitutional orders, and systems that men create for themselves, and the kingdom of God, which operates through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. But where does money come into all this? What is money? Can money buy you happiness? Well, according to one individual, whoever said money can't buy you happiness simply didn't know where to go shopping. But, of course, that was the ideas of someone like Bo Derek, and that isn't really the answer that we were looking for. But I ask you, who said, wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things? Now, you think about that for a while, and you think, where did that quote come from? The mission of the church is to receive, preserve, and propagate the doctrines and ordinances of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, most churches don't preach those doctrines. It is supposed to be a society established by him, unlike the ministers of other nations. They are not to exercise authority one over the other, but they are to serve. The church is to be the benefactors who do not exercise authority but operate in this faith, hope, and charity realm, which is not really political as much as it is apolitical. It is moral as opposed to what is often political, which is amoral, without moral scruples. And one leads to destruction, and the other one leads to that more abundant life that we were talking about. So where does that quote come from? Wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Well, that's Ecclesiastes 10:19. And that's a biblical Old Testament statement. So their money wasn't a bad thing. And the word they used in Hebrew, their money, is actually kind of the word for silver. But let's go and read that in more context. So we'll go back to Ecclesiastes 10:15 and read, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city." Now, if you really understood Hebrew, which I don't know anybody who does, that's a drastic statement, because we've gone to the Pharisees and asked them to interpret Hebrew for us. And there actually are some Pharisees still existing, at least raised Pharisees, that are beginning to get a better picture of Hebrew. But still, we have a book coming out eventually, will be one of six, that will show you a new way to look at Hebrew. But the word city there has to do with what you are now in, this political realm, this political body. Originally, Israel was, when they asked for a king, they were told to go back and think about it, and Samuel said, go back to your tents. But after they finally insisted upon having a king, he says, go back to your cities. Later, when Rehoboam is asked to give them back their freedom, he says, go back to your cities. And while he thinks about it, decided not to give them their freedom. And some of them said, what is David to us? And they went back to their tents. So this idea of tents versus cities is a very important concept. Are you living in your own tent? Is your home your own castle? Or are you living in the cities of Egypt? These are the precepts and concepts that they're telling us in the Bible, which your teachers and your ministers have not brought you to understanding about. In verse 16, we say, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and the princes eat in the morning. Now, what does that mean, eat in the morning? Well, your money is not Sabbath blessed. The Sabbath blessed doesn't mean taking off Saturday. Sabbath blessed means working first and then taking your rest. If you eat in the morning before you've earned your meal, you're not following the Sabbath. And if your money is following the same principles of that foolish prince who is as a child, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble because you're on the wrong side of the equation and it will weareth you out. Blessed are thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles and thy prince eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Well, we have become drunk on a thing called credit. We don't even have money. Money, one definition, there's 12 or 14 definitions I have here of money. One is that it's capital. Well, people talk about capitalism not working. Well, they haven't had capitalism in the United States and most countries for almost 100 years. They have debtism because all their money represents debt. It doesn't represent capital. So that's a different kind of money than some money. So there are so many layers to understanding money. Like I said, we will not cover them all in this broadcast, but we will begin to look at what this is all about. Continuing on with Ecclesiastes, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Proverbs tells us the slothful shall be under tribute, and of course everybody in the United States today is under tribute. It is the nature of the government that they have created for themselves, which has nothing to do with the early America back in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1776. It has followed another path and become and morphed from a little lamb to a roaring beast. And it devoured its own people who are now digested as nothing more than meat for that beast, human resources. And how we got to this path was we followed a political path for our answers instead of the moral path laid down by Christ. And our preachers and ministers and churches are as much to blame in this gross negligence as anybody else. A feast is made for laughter. The wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thoughts. The curse not the rich in thy bedchambers, for the bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. And the matter is, you're to blame. You have to change. Your king does not need to repent until you repent, and you need to turn around. And so in the next chapter, it starts talking about the ways of the kingdom. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. They're talking about a government that operates on faith, hope, and charity, where you release your gifts to ministers you trust. And if you find you can't trust them, you don't have to pay them anymore. That's the taxes in the kingdom. You tax yourself. You operate by that faith, hope, and charity. If you go to leaders to take away from your neighbor, to give them the power to take away from your neighbor so that you may have your social welfare, they will take away from you. You will be the bird trapped in that net, and it will be your blood that will be shed. If you go to Proverbs, they explain this in detail. I never hear pastors explaining this. I never hear ministers explaining this. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and these pastors are telling you there are political solutions. No, there are spiritual solutions, and you must follow a different path. You must turn around yourself and go another way. So I could go on in Ecclesiastes. You go read it yourself down to at least verse 10 of chapter 11, and it will tell you how to remove the sorrow from your heart and put away the evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You need to go another way entirely. So what is this thing called money? Well, Ian Rand says money is a tool. One definition is any circulating medium of exchange, including coins, paper money, and demand deposits. Paper money, there's all kinds of paper money. The Federal Reserve note is one kind, a U.S. note is another. We don't have U.S. notes in circulation anymore. We only have Federal Reserve notes. Those are debt bills. It's a part of a fractional reserve system that creates money that you never even see. It's only entries within books. Some people say that gold and silver is money. And, of course, the Bible talks about just weights and measures. The coin in your pocket doesn't, you know, the dime in your pocket doesn't weigh the same as the dime did when I was a small boy, because the dime when I was a small boy was a silver dime. But the dime in your pocket is not a just weight and measure. It is artificial money. So who should be issuing money? We're going to outline this really quick, so we're going to zoom through some of these concepts. Can money buy you happiness? Well, one answer to that question, well, if you have enough money, you can afford to be unhappy. Is money the root of all evil? No, that's not what it says. It was the love of money that was the root of all evil, where you put your wealth over that of your neighbors. You want to be rich rather than him. That's one of the problems with gambling, is that when you put your dime down and he puts his dime down, you're praying that he loses his dime and you get it. That isn't like farming. When a farmer puts seed in the ground, he's gambling, but he's not gambling against his brother. He's not waging his self against his neighbor, hoping his neighbor's crops will fail. That is the distinction between gambling and taking risk. So what is this money? Does money exist by nature or by law? Should money be produced by government? Should money be privatized? And what does it mean to privatize money? Well, actually, money should be produced by the government, but the government should be who? Should it be a king? Should you have a king? We were warned that the elect a king, a ruler who could exercise authority, which is what you have today. Your president is your king. He is the ruler who can exercise authority one over the other. He can have his executive orders, etc. That is one government, but the government that we were supposed to be creating, where we retained our rights, as it mentions in the Bill of Rights, which is a part of a constitution which the people originally were not a party to. You should read our book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. We weren't a party to the Constitution. This government was something separate from us, and the leaders were titular because we were separate. We're not separate anymore, and the leaders are not titular anymore either. We have become a party to it, and we have become bound by these leaders who are now our lawmakers and regulate the life out of us and compel us to serve their desires and needs and take our sons and daughters, on what Samuel says in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. A whole list of everything that's going to happen if you reject God and elect this leader who can exercise authority. That's where you're at today. You've done all that, and all those things they talk about in that, which will result from that rejection of God, are you today. And your preachers aren't even connecting the dots on this. This is horrible. And you're paying them to deliver you into bondage. We're out here crying in the wilderness, and our voice is not heard throughout the land. It's beginning to be heard through Blog Talk Radio and through these other radio stations. And with your help, we will make this message go out to the whole world. And those who will hear the message of Christ will actually come together in spirit and in truth and manifest his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that's our prayer, that you begin to understand what this is. The government should issue money, and you are supposed to be the government. All you silver miners out there should be turning, and silversmiths should be turning your silver into money, and that should go into circulation. Now, there are other forms of money. You could actually have paper script. You can give a note to a guy you do a favor for, or he does a favor for you, and you say, hey, here's a note. I see over here at the little RV park next to us where we're going to have a retreat in September. The owner, when he appreciated something somebody did, he'd give him a little card and say one free pass at his RV park. Now, of course, it was a promotional thing, the guy would get into the habit of coming to the RV park and see how good it was, and so therefore he would come back. But it was free. That little card was money in circulation. It was value. He could, that guy could hand it to another guy and say, well, I never got a chance to go to the RV park here. Here's a free pass. And it, there's money in circulation. There's all kinds of money that you could put into circulation. It, remember one of those definitions that I mentioned before? I think it was in the first definition, demand deposit. It's a bond. Your word is your bond. Your word becomes money. It becomes value. Your faith, your hope, your kindness, your sacrifice. You are the treasure of the kingdom. Your word is your bond. Those who don't keep their word, those who say one thing and do another, there's no place for them in the kingdom. They're going to have to go to the systems that make them merchandise in order to survive. So it's the love of money, the love of wealth over others, that is what leads you down that path. You need to turn around and love righteousness, and that needs to become the money of your life and the treasure of your society. Mother Teresa once said, let us more and more insist on raising funds of love, of kindness, of understanding, of peace. Money will come if we seek first the kingdom of God. The rest will be given. In other words, if we follow the path of Christ, he will run out and bring us life more abundant. But if we continue to follow the gods of the world, we will be bankrupt. And that's what we're seeing. The problems we are seeing today, they are symptoms of a problem that began in us. We need to turn around. And those who are willing to turn around and go the other way need to come together. America was a republic. I won't get into all this. I'm going to make this statement. A lot of you will disagree with it, but I'll prove to you that what I'm saying is true. The United States federal government was never a republic. It was a federal indirect democracy in a republic. It was created by a small group of men to provide for and guarantee a republican form of government. But a republican form of government requires individual responsibility. Moses created a republic. Christ's church was a republic. The early churches in America were embryonic republics. Now, all this is quoted in the book Higher Liberty. But today, your churches are corporations of the state. Today, your churches are entities of the state. And they don't preach the gospel of Christ. They preach the modern Christianity gospel of all sorts of things. The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. And that's where we're at today. You're not going to politically turn this democracy around until you turn the hearts of the people around, and you cannot do that with Cain's Club. You have to do that one soul at a time and realize that those who will not turn away from that system of iniquity that weareth you out will perish. Will you survive the perishing of that system? Not unless you set the table of the Lord. Not unless you begin to understand the ways of the Lord and the money of the Lord and bring his spirit into all that you do. You know, Thomas Jefferson once said, I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator. Well, I have little doubt that it has not abandoned the unity of our Creator and whored after false gods and created a system that is diametrically opposed to Christ because they pray to men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, taking from your neighbor to provide you with a social welfare that should have been for your welfare, but has become a snare. You must repent. You must turn around. And one of the ways to do this, or actually the only way, is to follow the ways of Christ, which is what we lay out in the Free Church Report and the book Thy Kingdom Come, all available free through the Living Network, which you need to join by going to hisholychurch.org and become a seeker after that kingdom. Join hands with others. Don't bind yourself with contracts, but walk in faith, hope, and charity with others that are seeking the ways of the kingdom. And you will start to peel away the lies and see the truth of how you too can seek that kingdom of heaven and that life more abundant that Christ came to give you. And you need to do it quickly, because the change in this world has been great. We have gone a long ways in the wrong direction. We have swam way out beyond the breakers that gave us protection. And we are a loss at sea, and we need to turn around. All that is necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And what are you going to do? Form a political party and outvote those selfish people of the world? You are outnumbered. You cannot outvote the selfish. They overwhelm the land like the crickets and locusts. No, you must do something different. You must gather together. And before you dissolve the bands which have connected you with the system that has brought you to this precipice, you need to form new bands with new men based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You can only do this by gathering together in small groups, intimate groups, learning to know and trust one another, and then linking those groups together in a network of charity, hope, and faith. And so we're going to continue this discussion on First Amendment Radio, and we'll see you there in just a little bit.